Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So Father, as I share this word, based from the revelation that we started sharing last week, my prayer is that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying behind what I'm saying. That you'll give us a mind to grasp and process what's being revealed. That you'll give us eyes to see you in the scriptures and see how you are moving in our lives. And that you'll give us a heart to receive the impartation and the empowerment to boldly go where we've never gone before and to boldly become the person we've never been. Help us to embrace the new level summons that has been released. Help us to walk it out so that we won't be satisfied with comfort zone living. There's an impact you want us to make. There's an impartation you want us to release. There's an influence that you've given us to have amongst our peers. And so, Father, thank you for making us the kingdom witness you want us to be, is our prayer in Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen. Amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. The book of Isaiah, chapter 60. On Resurrection Sunday, I started sharing this teaching. I thought it was going to be a one-time message, but it's this is the third session of it. And it's from the word arise. Come on, everybody say arise. Arise, arise. And so that word stems from you and I catching a revelation of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is resident on the inside of us. We have to understand that when Jesus got up, we got up. Amen. And so we have to understand that it requires of us to live different, be different, process life different, respond different, and expect different because of this revelation, this word, arise. Again, when I'm talking about arise, you have to think the resurrection power of Jesus. Think with me. If the resurrection power of Jesus raised him from the dead, raises any dead thing, then what could you and I be down about in our lives if we are living resurrected lives, living from this resurrection power? Because the word arise, for example, the word arise means to get up. To get up, it means to step up or step into. It means to, and I love this, it means to change your posture and your status. When you're changing your posture and your status, you're actually changing your approach to how you used to do everything. And that's how God begins transforming lives. He gets them to change. He gets a person to change their posture and their status. In other words, their approach to life. He changes their position that they've chosen to operate from. So no longer, for example, I don't care what has happened. And we've gone through some challenging things. But I'm at this place, I don't care what happens. I never see myself in a losing position, no matter how bad it looks, because my posture, my status for life, my position in life has been now connected to the scripture 2 Corinthians 2:14, that he always causes me to triumph. That's in the midst of anything. So I remember the time God told me, this was years ago. This had to be over 14 years ago. We had a church building on Genesee Street in Buffalo. And I'm in my office and I'm having a pity party because things are not looking good in the ministry. Things are not looking good in me and Cheryl's personal lives because I have to forfeit getting a salary from the church, and I'm full time. I had to forfeit. So that means me and Cheryl take the struggle on the personal end so the church can continue maintaining it. And I'm wondering, what in the world am I doing wrong? And God has me go throughout the Bible and look up every scripture I could find on where it says that God is with me. He didn't want me to type it out on the computer. He wanted me to write it out longhand. So I had one of them big, long, yellow notebook paper, you know what I mean? And so I'm writing these scriptures out. Then he has me, or after I do that, then he has me look up all the scriptures that I could find in the Bible that says he's my help. First, he has me look up all the scriptures I could find that says he's with me. What is he trying to do? He is purposing to transform my perspective, not on how I see what's going on around me, but how I see myself. Because at that time, I saw myself by myself trying to make it. I saw myself helpless because of the overwhelm I was experiencing. And it didn't look like we was going to get victory anywhere. It didn't look like we were going to make it. I would have loved at that time to come to stand in front of the people and say, listen, I'm tired of believing God. Let's just quit. Anybody ever had that moment? Don't put your hand up. Don't put your hand up. But sometimes you feel like that. And then some, you know, I always told God I wanted to be a real Christian. I didn't want to be one of those pretend Christians. Have you ever heard this phrase from some Christians? They say, just fake it till you make it. I don't want to fake it. If he's real, I want the real thing. I want God to show up. So he had me look up all the scriptures I could find on that he's with me. And then he says, look up all the scriptures I could find on he's my help. After I got done, because as you're writing them, you're also reading them. You're saying them to yourself as you write them. Because I'm writing this out longhand now. Then he asked me, do I believe what I read? Well, I said, for sure. It's in the Bible. I believe it, Lord. He said, no, Mark. Do you believe what you read? He says, because if you believe it, then what you read should cause you to rise up above what's been causing you to feel like you've been feeling. He says, so many of my children say they believe me, but they continue feeling like they feel. So you know what that means? You've allowed yourself to hear God's word and not allow God's word to impact you. Because when you hear the word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says? It says, when you hear the word of God, you're hearing the full impact of Hebrews 4:12. You know Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. And it says this, for the word of God is quick. Everyone say it has quickening power.
It has quickening power.
For the word of God is quick. That word quick means it's alive. It causes life. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, every time it's spoken, when it's read, when it's received, when it's heard, it has a it has this penetrating ability to penetrate your consciousness and deal with the motives in your heart, the intents of your heart. Watch this. And even those things you've been hiding in your heart. And so God came after my fear. He came after that defeated attitude that I didn't even realize that I had. And so he had me look up those scriptures that said he's my help. He had me look up those scriptures that says he's with me. He says, now, from this moment forward, every time you give in to discouragement, you're also declaring, I'm not with you. I say, well, I'm not going to do that. Let that sink in. Because how can you be discouraged if God is with you? Think with me. Who's going to be in the presence of God choosing to be discouraged? Not me. And that's what happens with a lot of Christians. We disconnect ourselves from the power of the word, and we just embrace the rhetoric of the word. No, it's always powerful. It's always real. And it has this penetrating ability to impact you. And it discerns your thoughts. God, by his word, will show you the wrong thoughts you're holding on to, and he wants you to rise up and change your approach now. Change your posture. Change your status. And so arising is like this. I'm sitting down, but then when I change my position and stand up, what was able to affect me at this level now is beneath me at this level. That's what arising does. And that's where many Christians miss it, because they're still trying to hold on to what they see at this level. And then they're trying to understand and navigate through life. And God says, no, arise, change your posture, change your position. Now, my approach from this standing up position is totally different than it was when I was sitting down. There were some things I couldn't do in a seated position that I'm able to do now from an upright position. That's what the revelation of arise does. Now, let's look at our scripture. I told you Isaiah 60, right? Mm-hmm. Before I read Isaiah 60, because I don't want your familiarity of Isaiah 60 to undermine what God wants you to catch tonight. So let's start at Romans 6, and then we're going to go to Isaiah 60. Look at Romans 6. Watch this. Romans chapter 6. Come on, everybody on the faith call. Stay with me. Let's start at verse 1. If you have it, say, I have it. Okay, I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along in whatever translation you have. Look at Romans 6. Now, everyone look up here. I need you to make a decision tonight that you're going to choose to walk out and live what you read. Rather than, because a lot of these scriptures we're going to look at, you've already heard before. But I don't want a religious spirit to dull you and prevent you from the power that God wants you to operate in. Can y'all agree with that? Mm-hmm. So what God shows you tonight, you have to determine, okay, God, whatever you open my eyes to, I'm going to walk out, regardless of how I've been feeling, regardless of what happened to me, regardless of what happened the first 5 months of this year, regardless of what happened all of last year, I'm going to walk this out right now. Because, see, when God dealt with me in my office those many years ago, he didn't undermine everything I did as a pastor up to that point. He was letting me know that I was forfeiting a level of power that he has made available to me. And he wanted me to stop struggling. And from that moment, I stopped struggling as a pastor. I stopped struggling. It don't make a difference to me how much money come in into the ministry. That is not the determinant factor. Watch this. Of where I get to go. I think I shared it on a Sunday in Buffalo. I don't think I shared it here. When we were in Texas, when we went to Texas, Shirley and I, before we got on the plane, we had, we counted at X amount of dollars out, what she gonna have and what I had. So that's what she had in her purse. That's what I had in my wallet. And so it was quite a bit of money. It was for the entire trip. And so we went. Every city we went into, we didn't say a word. People would put money in our hands. I didn't preach one time. People would come, shake my hands, give me a Pentecostal handshake. Y'all know what a Pentecostal handshake is? That's when they shake your hand and put some money in it. They'd give me a Pentecostal handshake. I didn't say nothing. I went and visited my 86-year-old uncle, encouraging him. I'm praying with him. He asked me to pray for the young people in his house, and I prayed for them. He said, all right. Sometimes he called me nephew, but the most of the time he called me son. He said, all right, son. All right. I said, well, uncle, I'm getting ready to go. I got to go back to my other uncle's house where Cheryl is. He said, okay. And I'm reaching to hug him, and he reaches to shake me. And he gives me a Pentecostal handshake. 86 years old. It wasn't no little money neither. Glory to God. But anyway. Every city we went into, and we flew into Dallas-Fort Worth to spend the first 5 days with Cheryl's parents. Then we drove 6 hours to my hometown, Corpus Christi, to spend time with my family there. Then I drove another 3-4 hours to go spend time in Houston with my sister. Now we got to drive 4 hours back to Fort Worth. Every city. And a lot of times, we're wanting to be a blessing. We don't want about anyone to spend on us. We want to be a blessing, and people put money in our hands. So when we got back to the house, we flew back and we got back. We unpacking, and Shirley asked, "Okay, how much money you got left?" I said, "Well, I just got this amount." She said, "Is that all you got?" Now I'm happy because of the Pentecostal handshakes I got. Cheryl didn't get Pentecostal handshakes. It's like Cheryl got full deposits. I said, this is how much I got. I'm thinking she's going to say, oh, that's good. She said, is that all? I said, what you mean, is that all? Well, this is how much I got. I said, where you been, girl? We had, if not more, just as much money then as we did when we left. It didn't cost us nothing. So what I'm trying to show you is about this revelation on arise. Change your posture, change your position, change your status. So look at Romans chapter 6. Let's dive over to the word now. Verse 1. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It's a question. Well, we know the answer is no. But see, I want you to also see sin as what Romans 14:23 says. Anything that's not of faith is sin. So when you're not believing God, the Bible says that's sin too. Romans 14:23, anything that's not of faith is sin. Anything? Anything. So when you're in that situation and you're giving in to worry, anxiety, apprehension, nervousness, fear, and you're not in faith, the Bible says your position in that situation, your posture in that situation is one of sin. And you still love God. You're just missing the mark. That's what sin is. You're missing it in that situation. God wants you to have victory, but now because of your posture, your position, your status in that, what you've chosen to do and how you've chosen to be is causing you to miss God. And you can be praying and still miss it. You can be praising and still miss it. Because look what it says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? So now we got to make up in our mind, okay, when it comes to believing God, I'm just going to choose to believe him regardless of what I see, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what is happening. And that's how I had to get. I said, even if the bottom fall out, I'm going with God because he has enough power to lift me back up. Everyone say arise. Arise. Look at this. Verse 2, it says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay, we know we're dead to the sin life, to doing wrong. But what about, have you gotten to the place where you have chosen to die to worry? Die to fear? What about that wrong attitude? I had to die to self-pity. Feeling sorry for myself. God said, die to it. He said, because that's not part of a faith-filled life. What about when you're looking at your situation, you're looking at your life, and you're seeing what you don't want to see? When are you going to die to a foreboding spirit? You know what a foreboding spirit does? It expects the worst. It expects the worst to happen. What about a forlorn spirit? Just sad and down. And when are you going to die to that? Because you are alive in Christ. You're going to have to choose. God won't force you. When are you going to die to being cynical, being critical, condemning people? What about this? When things don't go your way, and you think you've done all you know to do, and now that bad attitude show up and you take it out on the closest one to you, you got to die to that. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, but when a lot of Christians read this verse, they don't look at sin, what we're talking about. So that's why you have some Christians who go to church, Christians, smile at everybody at church, do whatever they can do in the helps ministry at church, but they don't even like each other at home. I had somebody recently tell me about family members of mine getting a divorce. I said, huh? How? Christians. We can't stand each other. What? How? Where's the love of God at? What happened to agape love? So they're not choosing to change their posture, their place, their position, their status. And I want you to understand that you have to take more ownership of your life. I put this down in your notes. The adversary comes to attack, number one, your thought life. He comes to attack your thought life. He attacks your thoughts, your mind. Because he knows what the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So don't nobody else know what you're thinking but you and God. And if you're embracing some satanic thoughts, the adversary know that you fell for the bait. And so the adversary comes to attack your thought life. So sometimes your family members don't know how you're being attacked. And so they're asking, what's wrong with you? And so your response, nothing. And you know you've been thinking wrong thoughts. you have given in to the spiritual attack of the adversary. That's spiritual warfare. Because the battle is the mind. I believe Joyce Myers even wrote a book on that. Mm-hmm. Battlefield of the mind. The battlefield of the mind. Yeah. Okay. Number one, the adversary comes to attack your thought life. Number two, the adversary comes to attack your tongue. He wants to attack what you say out of your mouth. Because, watch this, dear hearts, if you don't get nothing else tonight, watch this next statement. You will never get to go what you're not willing to embrace with your words. You will never get to go where you're not willing to embrace with your words. How did we become saved? We confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and declared Jesus as Lord. And once we declared him, new life came to us and we became saved. You will never get to go where you're not willing to embrace with your mouth. So that means you're going to have to discipline yourself to stop talking the wrong things just because you're feeling wrong. Amen. Amen. You got to stop talking the wrong things just because things seem to be going wrong on the outside. I remember God told me this as he was dealing with me. He says, Mark, these things that are happening, do they change the word of God? I said, no. He says, now, will the word of God change these things? I said, yes. He said, then stick with the word and stop sticking with what you see. If these things cannot change the word and the word can change what I see, then I'm going to stick with the word and trust God's word to change what I see. Say amen. All right. The adversary comes to attack, number one, our thought life. The adversary comes to, number two, come to attack our tongue. And then number three, the adversary comes to attack your temperament. He wants to affect your mindset, your attitude, your behavior. He wants you to think wrong, talk wrong, believe wrong, respond wrong, so you can receive wrong. That's the adversary. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right. So he comes to attack your temperament. And see, all the time I went to Sunday school and they were telling me and teaching me about the Bible, they were not telling me nor teaching me how to overcome the attack in my emotions and in my mind. And here I am trying to use what I learned in Sunday school, but it wasn't enough because they were not incorrect. They were just incomplete. They didn't show me how to obtain victory. It's one thing to tell me to pray to Jesus. It's a whole different ballgame to tell me to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, this is Philippians chapter 2. It says, let this attitude be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. And when you look at some Christians, they don't have Jesus's attitude. They have the same attitude that they dealt with and operated with before they got saved because they didn't allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to transform them. Okay. So the adversary comes to attack your thought life. He comes to attack your tongue. He comes to attack your temperament. And then he also comes to attack those who you're close to. I call them your team. He wants your inner circle. So that's why you always have to watch who you confide in, who you share your heart with. The adversary wants to attack your team. Remember Job's team? His friends, They came and condemned that brother. And if it was up to them, Job would have never got back in right position with God. But remember in Job 42, where God says, God rebuked Job's friends, his team, because they were not right, even though they believed they were, even though they thought they were. And watch what God says. Said, ask Job to pray for you. and you'll be restored. And Job prayed for them, and then God gave Job the double. That's in Job chapter 42. But listen to this. You have to understand that the devil always comes to get two for one. So that's why you always have to watch it. When you see a loved one not in a believing place, not in a faith place, don't you join in with them. That's when you learn to cover them in prayer and walk in love toward them. I learned something years ago. Whenever you're in doubt, just walk in love. I used to go to God and complain about Cheryl, and he would say, well, when are you covering Cheryl? Do you know that Cheryl is under attack? Well, I didn't even think about that. Do you know how the adversary is bombarding her mind with thoughts? No, that didn't concern me. What concerned me was that Cheryl responded to me wrong. And he says, you need to do a better job of covering your wife. He says, you cover her spiritually. Watch this. Love her emotionally and serve her naturally. And when you do those three, it'll give me the moment to restore her. I said, come on, Jesus, we can work together. Look how y'all looking at me. That's what he told me now. I'm telling y'all. And the reason why is because many times we want to tell a person, just get over it. You need to get over it. Well, they can't. What if they don't know how? And your words of just get over it or don't let it bother you, that does not help. You want to slap them with a 2x4. Amen. All right. And so, thank God for constraining Cheryl. Amen. All right. Let me keep reading. Look at Romans 6. I want to go further. Then we're going to go to Isaiah. Then I want to show you something. Look at this. Romans 6. And I left off at verse 3, I believe. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ. Now, I like the King James part because it points that out. It says, like as Christ. So that means that like Jesus died in God's heart and mind, you and I, we died with him. Watch this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ now was raised from the dead. How was he raised? By the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What is this newness of life? Walking in the glory of the Father, walking in resurrection power, not giving in to dead things, dead feelings, dead thoughts, dead actions, dead responses, but walking like someone who is alive or who has arisen to a new posture, new status. Now go to Isaiah 60 real quick. Isaiah 60, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Watch this. Verse number 1, and it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Everyone say, my light has come.
My light has come.
And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. Now, you got to believe that. The Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. I will submit to you that when he says the light has come, that's he's referring to the glory. So you're not by yourself. Okay, let's keep reading. And his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So now he's talking about that this arising, this lifting up is causing me to have influence. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings, people in authority, to the brightness of your rising. Verse 4, lift up your eyes all around. Now he's talking about you and I having different sight. Lift up your eyes. Notice, not look at, but lift up. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. The Jewish ministry that Shirley and I used to work at, they use the scripture and talk about how God is drawing Jewish people to Israel. So they use this one of these verses to define what they call Aliyah. So it is happening, but what about you and I? It also refers to us. It's scriptures like this that keep me in hope about my children being impacted by the righteousness of God. Because God says now, because I've chosen to live righteous, now he will impact my children and my grandchildren with that righteousness. But I got to believe it. And I got to live like it, act like it, think like it, talk like it. The devil wants to torment my mind and think that my children are going to be lost. My grandchildren are going to be lost. He wants to torment my tongue. So I will speak that way, that my children are going to be lost. My grandchildren are going to be lost. He wants to torment my temperament. So my attitude, my demeanor, how I respond to my adult children or how I respond to my grandchildren will be negative. No, we don't live. We walk in newness of life. So I expect God to show up in my adult children's lives. We have our youngest son. We have one left who's in their 30s. The rest of them are in their 40s. I expect God to impact and influence all of them. Remember, she married me when I was 2. And so, and then our grandchildren. I'm down in Texas. God speaks to me and said, now when you get back, I want you to talk to your oldest grandchildren and show them how you pray so they'll begin praying to me like you do. So when I got back, I shared with my 3 oldest grandkids. I said, now this is one of my Thanksgiving prayers that I pray. I want you all to begin praying it every day. And then I taught them how to pray it. Don't read it. Don't be mechanical. You put your heart into it. You may not get to say all of it, but see yourself talking to God and he's responding to your words. See, he's using me now to impact my grandchildren. And they're young adults. Well, why am I doing all this? I'm doing it by faith. And let me, I feel led to share this with you. Stop attaching your identity to an outcome. When you pray, don't attach your identity to the outcome that you want to see. You attach your identity to the one you're praying to. The Father, you're connected. Stop attaching your identity to what happens to you. You're identifying with the wrong things. You're in Christ. So let's look at the scripture again. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. So even though this is true, we still have Christians who are connecting their identity to the darkness that's happening. Instead of them changing their posture, changing their position, changing their status, they're identifying with the darkness. He said the darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness will be upon the people. He didn't say it was going to be upon us. So why are Christians expecting dark things to happen to them? Because they're identifying with it. Why are Christians expecting dark things to happen to their children, to their grandchildren, to their great-grandchildren? It's because they're putting more faith in the darkness they see rather than the glory that has been given to them. Arise. One more definition of the word arise is, and I love this one, it's the word emerge. God will cause an emergence to take place. And the word emerge means to manifest or to make known. There are some people now who's in my family who I remember, and even my kids remember how they disrespected me, dishonored me, came against me, and tried to plant bad seed in my children concerning me. But when you catch a revelation from heaven, can't no devil beat it out of you with a baseball bat. And now the same people honor me, praise me, celebrate me. You ready for this? Cheer me. Speak well of me because God has caused an emergence. He's manifesting you. And so don't you dare be, don't you ever think that your goodness is overridden by somebody else's badness. Who said that lie? No. Don't you ever think that all your prayers you've prayed, all the seeds, the good seeds you've sown, all the goodness you've done is for naught. Don't you dare do that. See, if somebody told me that, they're too late. I've seen too much. I've seen God confirm his word with signs following. So you have to understand that God does not want you to give in to the darkness. He wants you to make a difference in spite of darkness. So this is what you got to pass. It's five of them. You got to pass these tests when you're in the midst of dark situations or difficult situations. Is everybody with me so far? Mm-hmm. And then I'll close it out right here. Number one is when you're in darkness, he says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. When you're facing a difficult situation or a dark situation, you have to pass, number one, the faith test. Everyone say, I must pass the faith test. In other words, when Satan is challenging what you're believing during hard times, can you remain consistent in trusting what God said to you? Can you remain consistent in trusting what God said to you?
Faith test.
You got to pass the faith test. I was getting ready to say this before the vent incident. Those of you who have adult children in here, you've been praying for your children. God has told you something about them, or what he's going to do. Now, can you remain consistent in trusting what God said to you in spite of what you see? In spite of what you hear? You can't allow what you see or what you hear from your adult children to cause you to discount what God has already spoke to you. This is what God said to me. He said, Mark, I tell you it. He says, I tell you something before it happens so that you'll know when it happens, it was me that did it. Yeah. I tell you it before it happens. And did you know that that's a scripture? Actually, that's a scripture in the book of Isaiah. He says, I tell you it before it happens. So he always tells you something that's not occurring right now. And you don't see no evidence how it could happen. But he says it to you so you can know that when it happens, it was him that did it. But in the midst of you being told and it being demonstrated, that's the part where you got to believe, trust, and thank him for it. You got to hold on to my scripture, Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and will he not do it? Hath he spoken and will he not make it good? All right, and then number two. Number two, when you're in the midst of a difficult situation or a challenging situation or a dark situation, you got to pass the faithfulness test. You have to pass the faithfulness test. Well, what is that test? When you're challenged to maintain your integrity, your loyalty, or your commitment during the hard times, can you hold your course during difficult times? Can you remain consistent to a spiritual truth or to a revelation that God has revealed to you and not let it go? Can you remain consistent holding on to a scripture even when you don't see the evidence of this scripture coming to pass? That's the faithfulness test. And then number three. Oh, somebody needed to hear number three. Number three, when you're in the midst of a difficult situation, a dark situation, challenged situation, you have to pass the fellowship test. When you're being challenged, can you still walk in love with others? When you're challenged in your relationships, can you still walk in love with others during difficult times in relationships? Can you still trust the principles of fellowship and walk in love? Can you become consistent to others in spite of their flaws, their faults, their failures, or even their foul-ups? Because Jesus died for them too. The fellowship test. And then number four, when you're in the midst of a difficult situation, dark situation, can you pass the financial test? When you're being challenged in life, can you still obey God consistently with kingdom money? Obey God consistently with your personal finances? Can you still support kingdom purposes, kingdom projects, kingdom pursuits, and kingdom people? Financial test. And then finally, the last one is, where you're in dark situations, like Isaiah 60 verse 2 talks about, can you pass the favor test? When life is challenging you to accept unfavorable circumstances, life is trying to challenge you to accept disadvantaged situations or distasteful moments in life, can you still believe for the favor of God? Can you still carry yourself positively because of your expectation for favor to take place in your life because of Psalms 5 verse 12 where he says, he surrounds the righteous with favor. So he doesn't stop surrounding you with favor. It's always. Psalms 5 verse 12. He surrounds the righteous with favor. So this is why I share with you, those of you here in Canada, I said Canada is not in a bad situation because it got believers here. But you got to stop identifying with the darkness. And then I tell them in the U.S. The U.S. is not in a bad position because they're mad at certain things that are being done. Now, listen, we did not like it when he tried to call Canada the 51st state. The devil is a lie. How are you going to do that? Jesus Christ is Lord over Canada, and it's his own country. We didn't like that. Hey, y'all see how quiet I got in here? Y'all, I said we didn't like it. Okay, hooray. My God in heaven. we were not in agreement. But you have to be able to pass these five tests. Now, the reason why I started you off, and I'm ending right here, asking you about the first 5 months of this year, asking what you're expecting the last half of this year, you have to look and see, how did you do the first 5 months this year of passing these five tests? You have to look. See, if you do the same thing, but you're expecting a different result, that's called insanity. You have to look and make sure I'm changing my posture, my approach, my status, and I'm going to do different. That's why I said to you, how I went through this first five months of this year. I didn't do it from this position. Because see, when I'm sitting down, I'm limited in how I can respond. Things can attack me. I'm limited in how I can respond. But when I stand up, I have better vision. I'm obtaining victory because I can fight from this position. And now I'm in control of my response, and I'm going to always respond God's way. That's why I live victoriously. Things still happen, but its effect is different because I've changed my posture, my status, my position, and my approach. And now I thank God. I thank God for example, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. So every time I'm in need, I'm obtaining mercy and I'm finding grace. Another word for grace is favor. Another word for grace is anointing or power to help me. And then as part of that help scripture, God had me look up before. I know he's always helping me. He's helping me. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the teaching of the word. I pray that I shared the illustrations you wanted me to use, the examples you wanted me to use, pulled out the scriptures you wanted me to use to share this revelation tonight. Father, whoever here under the sound of my voice, both physically or virtually, who's been struggling in an area in their lives, I pray for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to be released in that situation, cause them to rise up from the deadness in that situation, and cause your glory to cause them to be quickened and come alive in it to where they stop identifying what they think is wrong. Help them to no longer identify with defeat, discouragement, despair, or depression. Help them to no longer identify with what they feel like hasn't happened yet, and show them that in the realm of the spirit, things are always happening for them because you said, and you never lie, you said that you are always giving them the victory. Father, will you help us today? Give us a victorious attitude. Give us a victorious mindset. Give us a victorious perspective. Deliver us from a defeated attitude is my prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And cause by your spirit a boldness, a courage, and a confidence to be infused in us to where we will rise up and emerge. Move into a place we've never been before, becoming a person we've never known before, so that we can represent you and glorify you. We thank you for the influence you are giving us. Thank you for the impact that you're causing through us. We thank you for the attraction that's upon us. And we thank you for your grace and favor that has been released to us. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now you just lift your hands and Lord, you just say, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.